Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Austin Bechtel for Fan Headlines. Pirates and Cardinals, 7:05 first pitch at PNC Park tonight. Ronzi Contreras on the mound for the Bucks, opposite Jack Flaherty. You can hear it on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Also, the Denver Nuggets defeated the Miami Heat in Game 1 of the NBA Finals and lead the series. Headlines powered by Bowser, celebrating 40 years of serving Pittsburgh.
Time to welcome in one of our favorites, one of our all-time favorites, Mr. Ray Fittipaldo.
And we do have a new producer today. He is not aware with our song to play.
That's right.
Everybody loves Raymond. Everybody does love Raymond, right?
Fan weather, of course they do. I know I do. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer's here. Come check out Trailblazer, Equinox, and the all-new redesigned 2024 Trax, and online at sunchevy.com. Ray, let's start in the defensive backfield. Ray's on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real-life magic for guests. Some interesting doings back there. Patrick Peterson, I guess, playing a little bit of slot. Patrick Peterson letting it be known that Joey Porter Jr. is getting first-team reps. What's happening? Update us.
Yeah, well, I think we all knew Joey Porter Jr., if he was ready, was going to start as a rookie. Carroll Austin pretty much came out and said that the night he was drafted. So, you know, it would just be a matter of how do they want to approach the slot? You know, do they want to have Levi Wallace play outside and have Patrick Peterson slide inside? Or does Chandon Sullivan maybe get that job? You know, to be honest with you guys, I think it's going to be a combination of both. I think Patrick Peterson could be a good matchup against bigger bodied receivers, maybe some tight ends in the slot. And, of course, Chandon Sullivan, who's done that for, you know, 3 years now. He started 30 games in this league. He's more of a guy who's going to be able to hang with some of the smaller slot receivers and fill that role. So, you know, the short answer is I think both guys will probably see time in the slot. But, yes, this week was the first time that they exposed Patrick Peterson to snaps in the slot. So, there it is.
Where do you think he's better at, Ray? Can he still play outside?
I think he's going to play mostly outside. Come September, I'm gonna guess, my educated guess will be Porter and Peterson will be your starters on the outside, and then they're going to piece it together in terms of, you know, personnel packages. You know, they got Keanu Neal and DeMonte Casey. Neal can drop down and play in the box some. You know, they're going to have their options in the slot as well. So, you know, they were really big on different personnel packages last year, and Cam Sutton afforded them that versatility. So it remains to be seen what kind of versatility Patrick Peterson has. You know, Cam Sutton did that for a much longer stretch than Patrick Peterson did. You know, Patrick Peterson pretty much has been an outside guy his entire career. So he's a great athlete, smart, loves football. You know, if there's a guy I think who can transition into that role, I think it's him, but, you know, of course, we have to see how it goes before we know it's going to work.
Call me crazy, Ray, but Kendrick Green still doesn't sound thrilled at the idea of playing center. We later learned he didn't want to do it out of college, and then your story has him quoted as saying, after they moved him to center, just doing what they tell me to do. That's what I have to do to be on the team. That's what the coaches want me to do, so that's what I'm doing. He doesn't sound overly thrilled at the prospect.
He does not. I think that's a fair assessment. And listen, he's had some unfortunate things happened to him early in his career. I, you know, wrote about this in the story. Pouncey retires. It's COVID year. They don't have salary cap space to go out and get a veteran, and he's thrust into that role. And he started 15 games, so he couldn't have been that bad, but he wasn't good enough, you know, they thought, to bring him back as a starter last season. So, you know, I think if Kendrick Green wants to remain in this league, I'm not even going to say the Steelers right now, because I think that's pretty far-fetched at this point. But if he wants to stay in this league, he's got to be able to do both. I mean, you got to be able to play center and guard if you're his body type. And he just hasn't embraced it to that point. So, you know, hopefully for his sake, he could pick it up here this spring. Maybe he can market himself, showcase himself, maybe a team with, you know, not as much depth as the Steelers will pick him up at some point. But, I think it's obvious just the way he's talking, the way the Steelers went out and got Nate Herbig in free agency. I think, you know, Green's days here are numbered, but, you know, hopefully for him, he could figure it out and, you know, maybe continue his career somewhere else in the league.
Ray, I was going to ask you, you talked to him. I mean, he's got a sense what his situation is, right? I mean, is this a desperation attempt to there's no way he makes this team, is there, barring two or three injuries, right?
Well, injuries, and they always happen. But I think a lot of those guys on that line who started games last year are in similar circumstances. Kevin Dotson is probably wondering what his role is going to be, if he's going to be on the team. They brought in Isaac Seumalo to be the starting left guard. And then I talked to Dan Moore yesterday. And Dan Moore, you know, the two-year starter at left tackle, took reps on the right side. Broderick Jones jumped up and took some first-team reps yesterday. So all these guys have an idea of what it's going to look like down the road. You know, I think Dan Moore is probably safest now just because he's got some versatility. I think he can adjust to the right side, even though he told us yesterday it's been hard for him. But, yeah, I mean, Kendrick Green, Kevin Dotson, you know, in the long term, Dan Moore, I think all those guys have to wonder what their roles are just based on what they did in the draft and what they did in free agency.
Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. And you can always text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Ray, Calvin Austin seems to have opened some eyes, just like he did last year around this time and then in the first few days of camp before he was hurt. Tell us about him.
Yeah, he's coming off off-season foot surgery. I think the great news for him is that they've allowed him to get out there during OTA, so it's obviously healed enough that he can go out there and participate. And I think with him laying the groundwork here, getting to know the offense a little bit better, he should be able to benefit from that in training camp. Now, I think in many ways, Joe, he's still going to be a rookie just because he didn't get those reps last year. I think one of the most unfortunate things about being placed on IR in the NFL is you don't get to come back and practice with the team, even if your injury heals up. So that's like one of the double-edged swords for NFL teams that they kind of have to balance every year, you know. We want to work with this guy. We think he has talent. He could help us in the future, but he's not going to be able to practice with us, so we have to stash him on IR, you know, that sort of thing. Not that they stashed him last year. He actually had foot surgery, and, you know, his year was done. So, you know, I think it's going to be a learning process for him. I think it was very smart for them to go out and get Allen Robinson, so you have defined one, two, and three guys in that offense. And then, listen, the number four receiver in this offense, he might only end up playing 15, 20, 22 snaps a game. And if Calvin Austin can come in and do that, maybe provide some run after the catch, I don't think they're going to count on him too much if those other guys stay healthy. But, again, I do think he has some talent and he's got a skill set that really no other receiver on this team has with his size and with his ability to run after the catch.
Raymond, they brought in all kind of veterans, and not all of them are going to stick, but some of them will. They've added to their depth everywhere. Is inside linebacker still the most noticeable weakness in your mind? Questionable weakness, I guess.
Yeah, but I will say this. Mark Robinson had a good week this week. He's making plays out there. He's getting a lot of reps because Cole Holcomb is still kind of laid up with his foot injury. So been Robinson and it's been a Landon Roberts out there. And Robinson, you know, fortunately for him, is getting a lot of first team reps. And I think he's taking advantage of those. So depending on what he does in the final week of OTAs next week, and then mini camp, if he continues to impress, then maybe they could hold off on that. And maybe they would feel comfortable with him being the top reserve. But if not, and I still think it's a possibility, but if not, go out and get a guy like Juan Alexander, maybe pay him a little bit more than you wanted to. And there's other guys who are out there too. Kyle Van Noy, a veteran who's been with the Pats and the Lions and the Chargers. So there are guys out there to be had, but you know, what's the harm of taking a long look at a guy like Mark Robinson now? They like him. They drafted him last year. They think he's got some talent. So I think this is the perfect time to take a look at him and, you know, to see what he can do.
It's a tournament like any other. Mark your calendars for June 23rd, the return of the Going Low Fan Open at Manor Valley Golf Course, powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Keep listening to The Fan for the on-sale date for foursomes, brought to you in part by Montucky Cold Snacks, Living Treasures Wild Animal Park, Laurel Highlands, Goldberg, Persky, and White Attorneys at Law, and Movin' Murdy. Ray Fittipaldo's on the Nemecolon Fan Hotline. You read his stuff in the Post-Gazette. Ray, kicker and punter. Is there anything interesting going on there? Are we going to get unexpected competition for people? Who's going to be the kicker and punter on day one?
You know, I think the punting situation is probably more interesting than the place kicking situation. And I understand that Boswell is coming off a bad year, but his contract is written in such a way that, you know, it would be really hard for them from a dead cap hit perspective to move on from him. At this point. So, I think they're keeping their fingers crossed that Boswell can figure it out and get back to his previous form. But for the punting situation, I think this guy they picked up from the Jets, man, I think he's going to give Harvin a run for his money. I think there's a reason that they brought him in. You know, I thought Harvin was better last offseason. I thought Harvin had a good training camp and a good preseason, but he's just never been consistent. Or consistent enough for them during the regular season for them to sort of win that job and for them to feel comfortable with him. So I think that's a legit competition. We'll see how that goes in training camp, but by no means do I think that Harvin has a job on this team right now. I think he's going to have to fight for it.
I don't know that that's true for any other positions, right? I mean, where is the most competitive situation? Who is going to start? I mean, if the young guys, I know if Broderick Jones isn't ready, maybe Dan Moore starts day one. Same thing with Joey Porter. I mean, where is the competition for jobs?
Well, the way free agency is now, Ron, and the amount of money that they pay people, there's really not a lot of competition. Every starting position that they wanted to settle, you know, left guard, they went out and got Isaac Seumalo. They signed their two inside linebackers. I think all of those positions are pretty much settled. I think the real competition in training camp, I think defensive line is going to be a great camp for the depth guys. I mean, there's going to be six or eight guys fighting for like three spots, and I think that's good for your football team. Secondary, same thing. You bring in a guy like Corey Trice, who had a great week. Can James Pierre keep his job, or is James Pierre – a guy that's maybe in trouble as a number four corner, you know, slash special teams guy. So, you know, I think more depth-wise, you know, backups, special teamers, I think that's where the real camp battles are going to be. Everything else, you know, you go down the offensive line, tight end, running back, receiver, even on defense, there's really not a lot of starting positions that are open at this point, barring injury.
We batted this one around the other day, the new kickoff rule change, anything inside the 25, fair catch, you get it at the 25. Ron doesn't mind it. I don't like it. I don't believe the league. I'm with Reed and Harbaugh and Belichick, and I see Matthew Slater of the Patriots saying that what does this change? You're still sprinting down the field with the ball high in the air, cracking into people on the way down there. Do you like this rule change, Ray? And would you vote for just scrapping the kickoff and starting on the 25?
Yeah, the only issue for me with scrapping the kickoff is what do you do with onside kicks?
Well, you go back to that 4th-and-12 play or whatever they've
done. Joe brought that up the other day, too. What do you do?
Yeah. So, I think if you want to keep the special teams, you know, with some kind of tradition or history of the game, I think you got to keep the kickoff in some shape or form. I would probably have to look at it. You know, I respect what Matthew Slater says, but if you're fair catching the ball and you're running, you know, 50 yards downfield, you're not hitting that wedge or whatever they call a wedge nowadays. You know, that the whistle's probably going to blow before you have to run into somebody. So I think this rule was taken up to help with concussions and with head injuries, and I respect that. I think the league is trying to do the right thing in many ways. So it's not that I don't believe Matthew Slater. I think Matthew Slater's a guy, you know, whose job probably depends on, you know, special teams. I think that's probably why he's speaking up. You know, Belichick is speaking up because he's kind of mastered that play, the high kickoff to the five, and you pin him deep. So I understand why he's doing it. But listen, if this saves head injuries, if this saves guys from CTE or dementia later in life, there's no way I could really argue it or, you know, have an issue with it.
I guess you could still have onside kicks, right? Don't have a kickoff team, but you can still do an onside kick with a kickoff team. Right,
you can, and there's a lot of collisions there too. So I mean, eventually,
right,
you might have to, you know, you might have to tweak that too. But it's such a unique play in the NFL, and it does create excitement late in games when there's comebacks. So I do understand why people want to keep that intact. But to be honest with you guys, I just when you're trying to do what's right, when you're trying to prevent head injuries, I just can't come up with a good reason not to do this new rule.
You're very trusting of the NFL, Ray, that they have the best intentions here. Yet at the same time, they're adding more Thursday games. If you gave them the freedom, they'd have 20 games and make these guys crash heads three, four, five more times if they could during the year. I'm not so trusting that the league has this at the forefront.
Well, you got to remember the players have to sign off on that when they have these new CBAs that come up every 5 or 10 years. So, you know, the players always talk a good game, Joe. They always say it's about player safety and this and that. And then when the money is put in front of them and how much money they can make off the networks with these primetime network games, these Saturday games, these, you know, Black Friday games, money always talks. So I think that's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. And listen, it is a business too. But, I mean, I get what you're saying, Joe, but I think in the end, business is always going to win out, and I think they're just trying to come up with ways to make the game safer as it is right now, as it's currently constructed.
Joe, are you ready? Are you finishing with your rapid response here for Ray that he's learned from Michael McHenry? He's done
no,
so well.
No, I'm stuck on the trusting of the league, okay. Ron. I'm stuck on the trusting of the league and how much they care. Yes, it's the players. They do have to sign off, but if I keep badgering you and bribing you into something, eventually you'll probably sign off if you get a little take of it, right? It's the league that is presenting these situations to the players. Hey, play another game. Do the players have to sign off on more Thursday games, by the way?
I mean, they don't have to sign on that off on that from year to year, but they can make it a big issue and they could strike if they want to when that CBA is up. That could be like a bold-faced thing that they're not going to give on. And it's they never actually stand up and fight for that. It's always a bullet point in the negotiations, but it's never something that they really stand up and fight for. For them, it's other issues. You know, they want to take care of retired players, which I think is good. You know, they always want more money up front. They want guaranteed contracts. So I understand there's a give and take there. But to answer your question, no. Like from year to year, when the owners pass these new roles or work with these networks, the players don't have any say-so in that whatsoever.
All right, Ray. Are you ready for a little free association?
That's always the highlight of our segment, Raymond.
Let's do it.
First, I want to tell you the fan wants to visit your youth baseball softball teams in action with the Pirates. Parents, coaches, email us at youthsports@937thefan.com to register your team, 12 and under. And the fan might make a stop to see a game or tournament brought to you by Living Treasures of the Laurel Highlands. Will Mason Rudolph get one snap this season, Ray?
I was waiting for the first Mason Rudolph question.
I'll say no.
Will Calvin Austin catch more? Let's put the over-under 2.5 touchdown catches for Austin.
No.
Who's going to be the Steelers' kickoff return man if they ever return a kickoff?
Calvin Austin.
Who's going to be the Steelers' primary punt returner?
Calvin Austin.
Who's going to be the new special teams ace now that Derek Watt is gone, apparently?
Tanner Muse.
Who?
Guy they signed from, he's a former third-round pick. They signed him late in free agency. He's kind of bounced around the league, was with the Raiders. But he's a good special teams guy.
Is Harmon Killebrew still on the team?
He is. Okay. Harmon Killebrew might be able to fill that role.
He's a good special teamer.
Who's going to lead the team? No, that's a stupid question. The Harmon Killebrew thing threw me off here. Harmon, do you remember Harmon Killebrew, Ray? You remember the name? You remember the player?
I used to study baseball cards. I want to say 563 home runs. Does that sound about right?
If he got that right, Ron.
Wow, Raymond, that's dragging it out.
Holy cow.
He obviously a Hall of Famer.
Hold on a second, Ray. What did you just say?
563, Ray.
Is that what he said?
Is that right?
563 that right? Home runs. Don't tell me he's right.
I have a lot of use.
He hit 573, so I want to be very clear you were wrong.
Oh, Ray, you missed it by one digit.
He was from Scottsdale, Arizona, Ron. First baseman, third baseman, left fielder.
I remember him.
I would have sworn he was a lefty. He was a righty.
No, he was a right-handed hitter.
True or false, Harmon Killebrew trivia, you versus Ron. Harmon Killebrew won two MVPs.
True.
True.
False. He won one. So I want to be very clear, you were both wrong. Harmon Killebrew made 10 All-Star games or more.
True.
You're both right. He made 11 All-Star games. Harmon Killebrew had more than four seasons of 40 home runs. True or false?
True.
False.
True. Ron is now ahead by one. Harmon Killebrew never...
Come on, Ray. You said you knew these cards backwards.
He never stole more than five bases in a season. True or false?
I'm going to say false.
Right?
False.
False. He had 1 year of 8 steals, believe it or don't. And that's it for our segment
of
Harmon Killebrew.
I win by one.
Trivia. Very good.
I win by one.
Ray, who's going to get the most snaps at inside linebacker this season?
Holcomb.
I rest my questions. I rest my case. You've done wonderfully.
Have a great day and a great weekend, man.
That was fun. You guys too. I'll talk to you.
Harmon Killebrew played in 162 games, all 162, multiple times. True or false?
I'm going to say true.
Ray?
He's already gone.
Oh.
We said goodbye to him.
Did we?
Yeah.
Did you say goodbye to him, Austin?
I did not. He hung up before I got a chance to say hello again.
Were you named after Austin Eckler of the Chargers?
No, he would have probably been like 7 when I would have been born.
When the Austin Powers movies were big, A, were you alive? B, did people kid you about that a lot?
People still kid me about that. Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. But no, I was born in 2001.
And maybe Calvin Austin going up here. Right?
In this 2001, Joe, think about that.
It's unbelievable.
That is just ridiculous.
It really is. You're 22?
Correct, yeah.
Wow.
You mentioned Austin Powers. They're so stupid, but I laugh out loud
so
when they're on.
Yeah, I still watch them.
Based on stupidity alone,
yeah,
I laugh out loud.
Harmon Killebrew led all of Major League Baseball in intentional walks 3 or more times.
I'm going to say more.
You're right. Three. He was a feared slugger.
He was a great player. He's a Hall of Famer.
A feared slugger.
Yes, he was.
Had seasons of 42, 46, 48, 45, 49, 44, and 49 homers. Ron, is he the most underrated player in baseball history?
No, Stan Musial is the most underrated player in history.
Is he?
Stan Musial, in my opinion, the most underrated player in history.
What makes him underrated?
Either him or Chris Owings. It's underrated.
No, Chris Owings is the greatest bunter in baseball history.
And Musial's just like in the top 5 in it, like almost every category. And he's not regarded as the Mays, Aarons, Ruths, DiMaggio's, Williams. He's just not, I don't think. I think he's incredibly underrated. Stan the man.
Holy bird follicles. Killebrew's not even in the top 10 all-time in homers. But if you take away steroids, he is. Who do you take away steroids? You take away Bonds. You take away A-Rod.
Yep.
You take away Sosa. And you take away Maguire. my God, you take everybody away, Killebrew's going to be the all-time champion run.
Hammer and Hank.
Hammer and Hank. No, there was only one Hammer and Hank, right?
There's only one Hammer and Hank.
Hammer and Hank followed by Babe Ruth, Pujols. You don't think of him as a guy who hits 700 home runs, do you? I don't.
I don't either.
And then Willie Mays. Willie Mays is the greatest player of all time. The guy hit 660 home runs and might have been the greatest center fielder who ever lived. He stole 339 bases. He hit 300 for his career. He's the greatest player who ever lived.
You could argue that, but I'm going to go with Mickey Mantle.
Okay.
You know what? You know, maybe because he got hurt, I can't go there. But if he hadn't have got hurt, easily to me would have been the best player.
Easily over Willie?
His numbers would have been astronomical. Plus, he was a switch hitter and could run like the wind. Easily is probably stretching it.
Because there was one year where old Willie hit 52 homers and had 1,043 OPS and stole 38 bases. How many guys in history could do that?
I'm not here knocking Willie Mays. I'm just saying Mantle was unbelievable.
No, you said more than that, Ron. You said he would easily be the greatest player ever.
I took back easily.
Let's look at Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle had a 52 home run year.
That was overstating it by saying easily.
With 10 steals and 1169 OPS. Oh, my goodness, did he have some years. 54 home runs, 128 ribbies. Holy horse milk.
Plus a switch hitter.
What were his splits, Ron? Can you ask Kyle Dubas?
I'm asking you. You're the analytical guy.
I think the biggest
thing
going for Kyle Dubas with local reaction is that he loves pro wrestling. This guy was going to be a winner no matter what when he came in. People were going to love him. Splits. Let's see his career splits.
You're an analytical guy now.
Mickey Mantle hit 330 against lefties, 280 against righties, 372 home runs against righties, 163 against lefties. I think the only man in baseball right now who can and will surpass that as Rodolfo Castro. I do like Rodolfo still.
I know you do. I know you do. He's got some pop.
Where are we going, Ron?
I have a message
for
the people.
Where have we been?
I have a message for the people.
I need to make a tease so people continue to listen. Oh, here it is. A documentary coming up on a fascinating figure. A backyard brawl time. Ron makes an inadvertent appearance in the Dulac chat and a ridiculous.
You promoted that 2 days ago.
I know.
And never
and
got
then Dubas
to.
Dubas got hired.
I know.
Hunter Green with an incrinculant stat. I mean, I can't believe this, that this guy ranks in this category all time in baseball.
This is
already
a Reds pitcher, correct?
Yeah. We'll talk about that coming up, Cook and Joe. Ron?
Joe, I have a message for the people. I want to talk about Mr. Reuter Plumbing. Bob Beal has built a plumbing company empire in Pittsburgh. Mr. Reuter Plumbing getting bigger, stronger, better every day, and Bob Beal would like you to be a part of the Mr. Reuter team. Yeah, they're looking for customer service reps. They're looking for residential plumbers. They're looking for commercial plumbers. If you're looking for work, a career change, or just a work job period, you owe it to yourself to check out Mr. Reuter Plumbing. Phone number's 412-REUTER-2, 412-REUTER-2. The website is a good one. It'll answer all your questions. MrReuterPittsburgh.com. As I said, 20-plus years in this market, 50-plus trucks out on the road every day, seen every kind of plumbing problem, fixed every kind of plumbing problem, and left behind nothing but satisfied customers. Phones answer 24 hours a day, and if you do call with any kind of a plumbing problem, mention the Ron Cook special, they'll give you 10% off your bill. It is Pittsburgh's number one full-service plumbing company, Mr. Reuter Plumbing.
I'm Austin Bechtel for Fan Headlines. Pirates and Cardinals tonight begin the first of a three-game series at PNC Park with Rwanzi Contreras on the mound for the Bucks. First pitch, 7:05. You can hear it on Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. And headlines are powered by Bowser, celebrating 40 years of serving Pittsburgh. For more Fan Headlines, go to 937thefan.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Kevin Allen coming up top of the hour, if indeed he got my latest email. Seems to be some confusion, Ron. Or maybe
he's not a candidate for a Bellefonte snorkel, is he? He's been very good to us.
No, he's never given a Bellefonte snorkel in his life. He's anti-snorkel.
But I thought he didn't return your message yesterday and you were a little troubled by it.
Troubled, yes. Suspicious of a snorkel, no.
Okay.
Although I think he might be exasperated with my inability or refusal to record his phone number. Every time he comes on, I say at what number, and all he says is the same one and doesn't give it.
Oh, man.
So I think we might have a problem on our hands, Ron.
I'm sure you'll take care of it, though.
Well,
he'll
or
take
not.
Care of it. He will be here.
All right. There's a documentary coming out, and this is a fascinating figure. If you read the book, The Game of Shadows, about Barry Bonds sinking into the world of alleged steroid use, performance-enhancing drug use, but there's a lot more to the story than that. And I would wager to say, Ron, that you may be in this documentary because you were standing in the background when Leland was asked about the big blow-up. It's HBO. They're starting a Barry Bonds documentary. It's getting the same treatment as The Last Dance. Like, they're going all out on this thing, and I think it's going to be a multi-part documentary. Am I reading that right? This is a fascinating figure, love him or hate him.
No doubt. Talking about greatest players of all time, he has to be in the conversation. I was indeed on hand at spring training. It would have been spring training 1991. They came off the 90 playoffs. They lost to the Reds. In the playoffs, I believe Bonds was MVP, was dissing Bill Verdon, who was a coach on Leland's staff, and Leland saw enough of it and jumped in and just basically telling Bonds either, if you don't want to be here, get the bleep out. And it went on for like a minute, and it was real good. Leland was the only one talking, and a couple thoughts on that. I was in Leland's office afterwards. I had a hat on. It said heads.
Yes,
and
it
I don't know where that hat came from or what it meant, but I was a much younger man in 1991. I know that. And I was listening to Leland, and Leland, to me, that day enhanced his reputation as a manager. And I think he became highly respected around baseball because here's a guy who had the nerve to stand up to the National League MVP. And I'm convinced that helped make Leland the manager. You know, he became the manager that he did, and I think that enhanced his reputation.
Well, you could certainly make the argument that Barry Bonds was the greatest player who ever walked onto a baseball
field. No doubt about it. I sound like Lanny Fritteri now. No doubt about it.
I can't wait to play golf with him next Thursday, except now I'm embarrassing myself on the course because my driver's gone to hell and everything else has.
Chartiers Valley, right?
I can't remember how to play. God, anyway, that's the point.
You've become a country club guy.
Tell me to get
kicked
out.
I never thought you would become. It was stretch enough for you to become a golfer, but now you've become a country club guy.
Sort of.
You
but
and
I'm afraid I'm going to get kicked out because I'm so bad. Bonds holds, obviously, the home run record. He cheated, but so have a lot of other people. The single season record, the career walks record at 2,668. The career record, I think it says here, for MVP awards was 7, and he definitely should have gotten 8. 12 silver sluggers, 8 gold gloves. Wow.
You know the best way I can describe him, for me, he could do whatever he wanted on the team, on the field. He wanted to lead the league in home runs. What did he hit, 73?
Yes.
He wanted to win a batting title. What did he hit, 390?
Crazy.
Whatever he wanted to do on the field, he could do.
Well, he doesn't want to be part of this. He put out a statement. Let me make sure I get it right here. He put out something on Instagram. To my friends, family, and fans, many of you have been contacted recently by a party doing a documentary about me. I am not involved with this project, but I can tell you I'm well into planning a bigger and better one. Maybe one on steroids, Ron. So please stay tuned. More to come. I don't think this keeps have you been contacted for this?
I did. I was part of the ESPN. Was it 30 for 30?
That was a great one, yeah.
30 or 60 for 60. Jeremy Schapp, I met at a downtown hotel. He interviewed me. I have not been contacted for this one.
Untitled as of yet, son of Bobby Bonds, godson of the iconic Willie Mays, about his meteoric rise in the 90s and 2000s, using archival footage and original interviews. It'll chronicle Bonds' emergence as one of the game's most talented all-around players with the Pittsburgh Pirates and San Francisco Giants. And then it says when with the Giants when he rewrote the record book in his late 30s amid controversy. That's putting it lightly.
Yeah,
a little bit
of controversy.
What a he's a fascinating figure. I've always said one Pittsburgh sports person that I'd love to see chronicled with one of these in-depth documentaries more than any other is Jack Lambert. If somehow, some way, someone could get that, he is a fascinating figure.
I don't know that he would ever. I don't think he'd ever do it.
That's fine. You can do a great story without him.
Well, apparently they're going to do one without Bonds, right?
I think, I've done those. We've both done those. Who do you think? Who would you think would be a fascinating story? Life story.
Oh, I think Lambert, but I think Troy also.
Troy would be a good one.
Troy would also be a great one. Those two, I would probably say.
I think I mentioned this to you before. I would love to see the inside story with, all the documentary treatment. Interviews. The key to it all, whether it's newspaper writing or documentaries, are you have to have the primary sources, the people who were there,
right,
and
who
footage
dealt with them on an everyday basis,
and the archives and the video. It's got to be believable and real, and the people that actually made it happen. Evgeny Malkin fleeing Russia, hiding in Finland with whoever he was hiding with, and being smuggled to the Penguins.
At like 19 years old.
Oh, my God.
As a young kid. Not like now, he's a mature man. Back then, he was a young kid. Couldn't speak English, right?
Yes, somebody's got to do that story. The dude was smuggled to the Penguins. I don't think somebody, Somebody at the Post-Gazette should go back and piece that story together, too. I don't think there's been enough written. That should be a book.
Yeah.
It seems odd that
But I don't know how national interest that would have.
I don't care about
that. If we're talking HBO or ESPN.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Yager is a fascinating story.
He'd be a great documentary.
But I
great
think that's more, you know, we always talk about hockey being a niche sport.
Yeah.
I don't know how much national interest that would have.
Well, anything done right, I think Yager might.
Just because he's been around forever.
Mike Sullivan spoke today. Let's talk about what he had to say as we move into, hopefully, Kevin Allen at the top of the hour.
And you still tease me and Dulac's chat, and we haven't
got
to that
yet. Yeah, we'll get to that at some point.
All right.
It's only going to cause trouble when I mention it. I can feel it in my bones. Okay. Listen to Cook and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week. From the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest, run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. And also, I've mentioned this before and I'll mention again, it's a tournament unlike any other. Mark your calendars for June 23rd, the return of the Going Low Fan Open at Manor Valley Golf Course, powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Keep listening to The Fan for on-sale date for foursomes. Brought to you in part by Montucky Cold Snacks, Living Treasures Wild Animal Park, Laurel Highlands, Goldberg Persky, and White Attorneys at Law, and Movin' Murdy.
Austin Bechtel for Fan Headlines. Pirates begin a 3-game series tonight. PNC Park against the St. Louis Cardinals starting at 7:05. Rowanzi Contreras on the mound for the Bucks, opposite Jack Flaherty of the Cardinals. Also, the Denver Nuggets defeated the Miami Heat at home in the first game of the NBA Finals. Headlines powered by Bowser, celebrating 40 years of serving Pittsburgh.
Mike Sullivan has spoken. He said he, quote, wasn't very involved at all in the long, thorough search that led to Dubas being named president of hockey operations. This is via Matt Wenzel's story at postgazette.com.
I don't know if I believe that.
Really?
He would have been consulted on all of this, I would think.
Do you think?
If the Fenway Sports Group, if they think as highly of him as I think they do, I got to think they were consulting him. What do you know about this guy? What do you know about that guy?
Maybe
he didn't make the ultimate hire. I agree with that. But I got to think he had a say.
Well, he says he wasn't very involved at all, Ron. So I hope that Dubas and Sully don't have disagreements like this, like you and Sully are having here.
Hopefully, it doesn't matter whether I disagree with him. If those two have a problem, then it's an issue.
It's pretty evident to me that he's a real intelligent guy. Sully says of Dubas, he's been around the game a long time. Impressive job in Toronto. Looking forward to working with him.
Learning from him. Everybody's happy.
And Sullivan believes the two are, quote, very much aligned with the identity of the Penguins. What is the identity of the Penguins, Ron? What are they aligned on there?
You know, Sully has always believed in the speed and skill game over the size and toughness game. And I do, from what I've read about Dubas, I believe he believes in that as well. But don't you need a little bit of, what was Berkey's word?
Belligerence. Yeah.
Truculence.
You like
that word? That's a Northwestern word there, maybe.
It's a big word.
A Northwestern level word.
Impressive word. Sully says speed has always been an important element. Speed is part of the evolution of the game. If you look at the teams that are having success in the league, none of them are slow.
That's true.
Well, but is any team period slow?
No. Nobody's slow anymore. But some have a little more balance maybe with the toughness and the belligerence.
Yes. He says, I think that's an aspect we can improve. That's interesting because he always says we're fast enough. This seems to me, that's the first I've heard him say we need to be faster. He's always very defensive on that and says, I can tell you right now, in so many words, the issue isn't speed. We're fast enough.
Right.
Now he's saying that's an aspect we can improve. That's a change.
He was always like, you can't win with just speed alone. And he was always a guy saying we don't have to have the goons and the belligerents to win. But, I mean, I think he has to realize that teams like Jersey – and certainly Edmonton, sprint by the Penguins right now. They're faster.
Well, that's an interesting admission by him because I don't know about you. I've never seen him say we need to be faster. I've always seen him take offense to such questions and say it's not speed that's the problem. You?
Yeah, but I mean, I always interpreted it more like we can win the way we are. We don't need to be. We didn't lose because we get pushed around in front of the net. That was always the way I interpreted it.
Wait, what? Wait, I didn't understand what you said.
I said when he was always asking, oh, you know, your whole team is based on speed, and you can't win just with that alone. And I always heard him say, well, we can win. We don't need to be, you know, we didn't lose because we were pushed around in front of the net.
He is defensive about that, too. People have asked him about the speed, and he has said, and I quote here, after one game, we didn't lose because we're a slow team.
Right.
He thinks they're fast enough. That's why that quote jumped out to me. That's the first time I've seen Sully admit we need to get faster. I thought his whole system was built around speed, and even though they're probably not fast enough.
Not anymore.
And now he wants to get faster. But there's no doubt that he and Dubas seem to be aligned on a skill, offense, speed,
right,
entertainment-centered game. But there's also the Sully part of the game where he wants, you know, responsible, smart, defensive hockey, right?
Well, he likes his defensemen to get in the play. He likes them to jump in. Maybe they've done that too much to their detriment. That's why it never made sense to me why they traded Matheson. I thought Matheson was his kind of player, you know?
And so should Petrie be. He's an offensive defenseman, too.
Yeah, but at this stage of his career, though, I don't know. I always thought of Matheson as a much faster skater. But
yeah, I think Matheson probably is a faster skater. But, I mean, Petrie did have 31 points in 61 games. That's anyone not named Letang, that's a pretty high number.
Except when you're the highest paid guy.
I didn't say he was worth his money.
I understand.
Yeah.
I'm just pointing out. I think if they could do that deal again, they wouldn't do it.
Maybe. Although, did Matheson have a good year?
I think he got hurt. I think he was. And the same thing with John Marino, right?
Well, that's a different story.
He found a home in New Jersey.
And he's a way more affordable player than either one of those guys,
right.
I think, isn't he?
Yeah,
and
I think.
To me, he's younger, and he's, I think, a more well-rounded.
Although Rutherford gave him a nice deal, though. Maybe not as big as those other guys. He gave him some money early after 1 year, remember?
Give me any one of those three guys. I want Marino. He's young. He plays an all-around game. I really like that guy. And they gave him up. He's 26, for God's sakes. That was a horrendous deal. But yeah, you look at him, Marino, his career high is 21 points, right?
Right.
How high has Matheson got, Ron, in his career? He can be a very dynamic player, Mike Matheson.
He was one of those. He was a little bit Letang-ish, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he'd hit a home run, but he'd also get caught with his pants down, so to speak.
His career high is 34. So even, you know, Petrie this year with 31, that's kind of productive, and he was hurt. So
I think Matheson was out for a while, too.
Yeah, he was, actually. He was hurt. He had a pretty good year, point-wise, for Montreal. He really did. Let's hope Kevin Allen's on the line next, Ron. What do you think the chances are?
What number to call?
No.
Same number.
Actually, I have no number to call.
Same number.
That's kind of problematic here.
Call him on the same number.
What do you think of this mess, Austin? What should I do here? This is your first big decision as a producer.
Do you have his contact info and like an email? Maybe it's in the bottom of like his email signature, his phone number?
That could be. He's not returning. The last I spoke with Kevin Allen was via email yesterday. I said, can you come on today? He said, no, but if it helps, tomorrow. I said, noon tomorrow is perfect. And I really haven't heard from him since.
Uh-oh, this may not be confirmed.
What do you think, Austin?
Might be problematic.
That's all right, Ron. We'll adjust.
Well, forge ahead.
The Pirates have a huge series.
Big series.
I think in terms of their believability as an actual team this year. Let's talk about that coming up. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer's here. Come check out Trailblazer, Equinox, and the all-new redesigned 2024 Trax. And online at sunchevy.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.